Chapter 21. Has gone up to dress. She expects you. She will be down in a moment. We were just admiring these marvelous flowers, which will surprise her when she reappears. Winsett remained on his feet. I'm afraid I must be off. Please tell Madame Olenska that we shall all feel lost when she abandons our street. This house has been an oasis. Ah, but she won't abandon you. Poetry and art are the breath of life to her. It is poetry you write, Mr. Winsett? Well, no, but I sometimes read it, said Winsett, including the group in a general nod and slipping out of the room. A caustic spirit, unpew savage. But so witty. Dr. Carver, you do think him witty? I never think of wit, said Dr. Carver severely. Ah, you never think of wit. How merciless he is to us weak mortals, Mr. Archer. But he lives only in the life of the spirit, and tonight he is mentally preparing the lecture he is to deliver presently at Mrs. Blenker's. Dr. Carver, would there be time, before you start for the Blenkers, to explain to Mr. Archer your illuminating discovery of the direct contact? But no, I see it is nearly 9 o'clock, and we have no right to detain you, while so many are waiting for your message. Dr. Carver looked slightly disappointed at this conclusion, but, having compared his ponderous gold timepiece with Madame Olenska's little traveling clock, he reluctantly gathered up his mighty limbs for departure. I shall see you later, dear friend, he suggested to the Marchioness, who replied with a smile. As soon as Ellen's carriage comes I will join you. I do hope the lecture won't have begun. Dr. Carver looked thoughtfully at Archer. Perhaps, if this young gentleman is interested in my experiences, Mrs. Blenker might allow you to bring him with you? Oh, dear friend, if it were possible I am sure she would be too happy. But I fear my Ellen counts on Mr. Archer herself. That, said Dr. Carver, is unfortunate, but here is my card. He handed it to Archer, who read on it, in Gothic characters. Bar Agathon Carter bar the Valley of Love bar Kittasquatomy, NY bar, Dr. Carver bowed himself out, and Mrs. Manson, with a sigh that might have been either of regret or relief, again waved Archer to a seat. Ellen will be down in a moment, and before she comes, I am so glad of this quiet moment with you. Archer murmured his pleasure at their meeting, and the Marchioness continued, in her low sighing accents. I know everything, dear Mr. Archer, my child has told me all you have done for her. Your wise advice, your courageous firmness, thank heaven it was not too late. The young man listened with considerable embarrassment. Was there anyone, he wondered, to whom Madame Olenska had not proclaimed his intervention in her private affairs? Madame Olenska exaggerates. I simply gave her a legal opinion, as she asked me to. Ah, but in doing it you were the unconscious instrument of what word have we moderns for providence, Mr. Archer? Cried the lady, tilting her head on one side and drooping her lids mysteriously. Little did you know that at that very moment I was being appealed to. Being approached, in fact, from the other side of the Atlantic. She glanced over her shoulder, as though fearful of being overheard, and then, drawing her chair near, and raising a tiny ivory fan to her lips, breathed behind it. Why the Count himself, my poor, mad, foolish Olenski, who asks only to take her back on her own terms. Good God! Archer exclaimed, springing up. You are horrified? Yes, of course, I understand. I don't defend poor Stanislas, though he has always called me his best friend. He does not defend himself, he casts himself at her feet. In my person. She tapped her emaciated bosom. Have his letter here. A letter? Has Madame Olenska seen it? Archer stammered, his brain whirling with the shock of the announcement. The Marchioness Manson shook her head softly. Time, I must have time. I know my Ellen, haughty, intractable, shall I say, just a shade unforgiving? But, good heavens, to forgive is one thing, to go back into that hell, yes, the Marchioness acquiesced. Oh, she describes it to my sensitive child. But on the material side, Mr. Archer, if one may stoop to consider such things, do you know what she is giving up? Those roses there on the sofa, acres like them, under glass and in the open, in his matchless terraced gardens at Nice. Jewels, historic pearls. The Sobieski emeralds, sables, but she cares nothing for all these. Art and beauty, those she does care for, she lives for, as I always have. And those also surrounded her. Pictures, priceless furniture, music, brilliant conversation, that, my dear young man, if you'll excuse me, is what you've no conception of here. And as he had it all, and the homage of the greatest. She tells me she is not thought handsome in New York, good heavens. Her portrait has been painted 9 times. The greatest artists in Europe have begged for the privilege. Are these things nothing? And the remorse of an adoring husband? As the Marchioness Manson rose to her climax, her face assumed an expression of ecstatic retrospection which would have moved Archer's mirth had he not been numb with amazement. He would have laughed, if anyone had foretold to him, that his first sight of poor Medora Manson would have been in the guise of a messenger of Satan. But he was in no mood for laughing now, and she seemed to him to come straight out of the hell from which Ellen Olenska had just escaped. She knows nothing yet of all this? He asked abruptly. Mrs. Manson laid a purple finger on her lips. Nothing directly, but does she suspect? Who can tell? The truth is, Mr. Archer, I have been waiting to see you. From the moment I heard of the firm stand you had taken, and of your influence over her, I hoped it might be possible to count on your support to convince you. That she ought to go back? I would rather see her dead, cried the young man violently. Ah, the Marchioness murmured, without visible resentment. For a while she sat in her armchair, opening and shutting the absurd ivory fan between her mittened fingers. But suddenly she lifted her head and listened. Here she comes, she said in a rapid whisper, and then, pointing to the bouquet on the sofa. Am I to understand that you prefer that, Mr. Archer? After all, marriage is marriage. And my niece is still a wife. XVIII. What are you two plotting together, Aunt Medora? Madame Olenska cried as she came into the room. She was dressed, as if for a ball. Everything about her shimmered and glimmered softly, as if her dress had been woven out of candle beams. And she carried her head high, like a pretty woman challenging a roomful of rivals. We were saying, my dear, that here was something beautiful to surprise you with, Mrs. Manson rejoined, rising to her feet and pointing archly to the flowers. Madame Olenska stopped short, and looked at the bouquet. Her color did not change, but a sort of white radiance of anger ran over her like summer lightning. Ah, she exclaimed, in a shrill voice that the young man had never heard, who is ridiculous enough to send me a bouquet? Why a bouquet? And why tonight of all nights? I am not going to a ball. I am not a girl engaged to be married. But some people are always ridiculous. She turned back to the door, opened it, and called out, Astasia. The ubiquitous handmaiden promptly appeared, and Archer heard Madame Olenska say, in an Italian, that she seemed to pronounce with intentional deliberateness in order that he might follow it. Here, throw this into the dustbin. And then, as Nastasia stared protestingly, no, it's not the fault of the poor flowers. Tell the boy to carry them to the house 3 doors away, the house of Mr. Winsett, the dark gentleman who dined here. His wife is ill, they may give her pleasure. The boy is out, you say? Then, my dear one, run yourself. Here, put my cloak over you and fly. I want the thing out of the house immediately. And, as you live, don't say they come from me. She flung her velvet opera cloak over the maid's shoulders, and turned back into the drawing room, shutting the door sharply. Her bosom was rising high under its lace, and for a moment Archer thought she was about to cry, but she burst into a laugh instead, and looking from the Marchioness to Archer, asked abruptly, And you too, have you made friends? It's for Mr. Archer to say, darling. He has waited patiently while you were dressing. Yes, I gave you time enough. My hair wouldn't go, Madame Olenska said, raising her hand to the heaped up curls of her chignon. But that reminds me. I see Dr. Carver is gone, and he will be late at the Blenkers. Mr. Archer, will you put my aunt in the carriage? She followed the Marchioness into the hall, saw her fitted into a miscellaneous heap of overshoes, shawls and tippets, and called from the doorstep. In, the carriage is to be back for me at 10. Then she returned to the drawing room, where Archer, on re-entering it, found her standing by the mantelpiece, examining herself in the mirror. It was not usual, in New York society, for a lady to address her parlor maid as "Why, dear one," and send her out on an errand wrapped in her own opera cloak. And Archer, through all his deeper feelings, tasted the pleasurable excitement of being in a world where action followed on emotion with such Olympian speed. Madame Olenska did not move when he came up behind her, and for a second their eyes met in the mirror. Then she turned, threw herself into her sofa corner, and sighed out, "Here's time for a cigarette." He handed her the box, and lit a spill for her, and as the flame flashed up into her face she glanced at him with laughing eyes and said, "Hat, do you think of me in a temper?" Archer paused a moment, then he answered with sudden resolution, "Tea makes me understand what your aunt has been saying about you. I knew she'd been talking about me." "Well?" "She said you were used to all kinds of things, splendors and amusements and excitements that we could never hope to give you here." Madame Olenska smiled faintly into the circle of smoke about her lips. "Medora is incorrigibly romantic. It has made up to her for so many things." Archer hesitated again, and again took his risk. "Is your aunt's romanticism always consistent with accuracy?"
"You mean, does she speak the truth?"
Her niece considered. I'll tell you. In almost everything she says, there's something true and something untrue. But why do you ask? What has she been telling you?" He looked away into the fire, and then back at her shining presence. His heart tightened with the thought that this was their last evening by that fireside, and that in a moment the carriage would come to carry her away. "She says she pretends that Count Olenski has asked her to persuade you to go back to him." Madame Olenska made no answer. She sat motionless, holding her cigarette in her half-lifted hand. The expression of her face had not changed, and Archer remembered that he had before noticed her apparent incapacity for surprise. "You knew, then?" he broke out. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.